Hello, and thanks for downloading the More or Less podcast. We're your weekly guide to the numbers in the news and in life. And I'm Tim Harford. This week, we're looking at a report recently issued by Oxfam, a global charity fighting to overcome poverty. The new report, it says, illustrates the need for a new era of public action. Loyal listeners will know that Oxfam puts out a report along these lines every January, and we have often found the need to raise an eyebrow at previous editions. So what's in this year's report? The key message is this. Since 2020 and the beginning of this decade of division, the five richest men in the world have seen their fortunes more than double, while almost 5 billion people have seen their wealth fall.
They are correct. This is true, but it's incredibly misleading.
That's Johan Norberg, a Swedish historian of ideas. But we're not just going to take his word for it, especially since he's affiliated with the Cato Institute, which is a well-respected libertarian think tank in Washington, D.C. that happens to have been co-founded by a billionaire. No, we're going to dig into the numbers themselves. Let's start with the first bit of Oxfam's claim that since 2020, the five richest men in the world have seen their fortunes more than double. But do they mean the five richest men back in 2020 or the five richest men today? If you analyse the top five from 2020, you might include people who are losing ground. For example, Bill Gates, whose wealth was barely more in 2023 than it was in 2020. If you take the top five from 2023, which Oxfam did, you capture the rising stars. In particular, you include Elon Musk, who wasn't in the top five back in 2020, and whose wealth has increased more than eightfold since then. That innocent-seeming choice makes a huge difference. The others on the list, Bernard Arnault and family, Jeff Bezos, Larry Ellison and Warren Buffett, have done well, but not that well. Elon Musk is driving a lot of the action. Now, we think that, despite a glaring arithmetical error of their methodology section, we think that Oxfam are correct to say that the total wealth of this group, including Musk, has more than doubled since March 2020. That conclusion is based on numbers from the Forbes Rich List, which is as good a source as any. But hang on, March 2020. Here's Johan Norberg.
Most of the super rich, their wealth is tied up in the company that they've built themselves. So Elon Musk's is in Tesla, Jeff Bezos in Amazon, Larry Ellison in Oracle Share. So it's not really liquid wealth. And this also means that their wealth fluctuates dramatically. Whether or not Elon Musk is the world's richest man on any one day depends on how Tesla is doing on the stock market that day. So he might lose $20 billion in one day, and he might make $20 billion in one day. And this means that all these calculations of whether inequality is increasing or decreasing is very sensitive to when you begin and when you end this period.
Right, so if March 2020 is the starting point, was anything interesting happening to the stock market back then? Let's ask Felix Salmon, Chief Financial Correspondent at Axios.
There was a big stock market crash in 2020. In the first quarter of 2020, and especially in March 2020, stocks around the world really imploded as a result of the COVID pandemic. So if you measure from early 2020 to today, that's a way of maximizing the gain in wealth because you're measuring from a low level to what is now a pretty high level. Stocks are very near their all-time highs. Over the long term, it's absolutely true that the very, very rich have got richer because stocks are doing really well right now, and the very, very rich tend to have a very large proportion of their wealth in stocks. So the real message of these statistics about the ultra-rich is a message relating to valuations in the stock market.
So where are we? We have an awkward arithmetic error, the inclusion of Elon Musk, although he wasn't in the top five in March 2020, a defensible choice, but definitely a choice that helped pep up Oxfam's headline conclusions, and the problematic decision to choose the COVID-related market collapse of March 2020 as the perfect moment to start the clock. Now, what about the poorest 60% of people in the world? Why 60%? I'm not sure. It was 50% in some earlier reports, but whatever. Oxfam say those people have seen their wealth fall. And that's true. Oxfam rely on data from the 2019 Credit Suisse Global Wealth Data Book and its successor, the 2023 UBS Global Wealth Report. UBS bought Credit Suisse a few months ago. After adjusting for inflation for both the billionaires and the rest, Oxfam find that the bottom 60% of the world's population, that's 4.77 billion people, have lost $20 billion, which is 0.2% of their collective wealth. But the problem is that while wealth is a great metric when applied to the super rich, it's not a great way to assess the living standards of poorer people. Here's Charles Kenny, a senior fellow at the Center for Global Development in Washington, D.C.
The reason for that is it's made up of some people with negative net wealth. They actually owe more to banks and so on than they control in financial assets. And it adds those people together with a whole load of other people who have pretty much no assets at all, one way or the other. Those other people are some of the world's very poorest people.
You can be living in extreme poverty with a small amount of positive wealth, maybe a hut with a tin roof or perhaps an old bike. Or you might be, say, a trainee doctor with substantial debts but a great career ahead of you, and you'd actually have negative wealth, so you'd look poorer. It doesn't make sense to lump together two very different groups of people, those who can borrow from banks to fund medical treatment or education or to start a business, and those who are too poor to borrow anything at all.
I don't think it really tells you much about what's going on in the quality of life of those 5 billion people.
Just to give an example, Sweden, 30% of the population of Sweden have a net negative wealth on the indicators that underlie the Oxfam report. Thailand, the bottom 10% of the population, still have positive net wealth on the same measure. I don't think that tells you that the bottom 10% of people, according to Wealth in Thailand, are in a better situation than the people in the bottom 30% of wealth in Sweden. I think it tells you something about the fact that in Sweden, people can easily borrow from banks when they need to, and in Thailand, the very poorest people can't do that.
So Oxfam is not wrong when they say since 2020, the five richest men in the world have seen their fortunes more than double, even if they did cherry-pick their starting point. But we're not sure that anyone is the wiser for hearing that almost 5 billion people have seen their wealth fall. Charles Kenny again.
I think Oxfam's right that the top five have so much wealth suggests something's going wrong, that they also want to say something about what's going on at the bottom. I just think that they probably should be using a different measure to do that than the wealth measure. I'd be using measures of income to do that. We've got nearly 10% of the world living on $2.15 a day or less. The poverty line in most high-income countries is closer to $30 a day. These people are living off, you know, a bit more than 1/15th of the level of income that would declare you to be in poverty in a rich country. So there's massive global inequality in income. And I think that is probably a better measure of how far we have to go in order to create a globally equal economy than is the wealth measure.
Even looking at income inequality, the timescale is very important in getting things clear. Felix Salmon again.
There are two very, very different time series that we're looking at here. One is what has been happening over the past 300 or 400 years in terms of global income inequality. And the big picture there is that inequality is the lowest it's been in about 150 years. And especially this century, it has dropped spectacularly. That's largely a function of a lot of people in China getting richer, a lot of people in India getting richer, that kind of thing. That's the big picture. What Oxfam is looking at is not the big picture of the past 150 years. What Oxfam is looking at is what's really just happened since 2020, over the past 4 years. And what's happened over the past 4 years is really a function of pandemic stuff.
Thanks to Johan Norberg, Felix Salmon, and Charles Kenny. And that's all we've got time for. If you've got a number-related query you'd like us to look at, please email us at moreorless@bbc.co.uk. We will be back next week. And until then, goodbye.